It's a special Sunday. It's life group launch. Tell your neighbor, say, it's life group launch. Tell your other neighbor, say, it's going to be a good Sunday. It's a good day to be at church. And I'm excited. We've been praying that every person here today would take a step in what we believe as a staff and as a church, as a community of believers, is that every person has a step to take and everybody's step looks different. But every day that we show up, every day that we come to church, every day that we open our Bibles, we believe that God wants us to grow. Amen. We have a step to take. The last few weeks, if you have missed the last few weeks, we put everything on YouTube. Feel free to catch up. We have been in a series called Rooted. Everybody say Rooted. We believe that your roots are very important. We have been talking about many different things as it pertains to roots. I want to recap kind of where we've been. The Word of God is the seed. Our heart is the soil. Jesus is the true vine, and we are the branches. Tell your neighbor, say, you're a twig, all right? Y'all had way too much fun with that, like, way too much fun. Be nice. We are the branches, and what Jesus says is that we are to remain in him. We broke this down last week, and we learned that this is to abide in Christ, to stay, to linger, and to loiter. Maybe you've seen businesses, and it says no loitering. But if Jesus were to stand before you today with a sign, he would hold it up, and he would say, please loiter here with me. Hang out a little longer here with me. Stay with me. Remain in me. Because this is what we believe as a church, that when we stay connected and when we grow, we are becoming more like him and less like us. I don't know about you, but I need some more of that in my life. As a Christ follower, Jesus is our life source. And what John 15 tells us, what we learned last week, is apart from him, we can do nothing. If you would write this down, if you're taking notes. If you don't take notes, just write this on your neighbor's forehead. Stay connected to Jesus. Stay connected to Jesus and stay connected to followers of Jesus. Really simple message today as we launch into this semester. And the goal of this day is not to launch life groups. It's to launch you into everything that God has for you and for your family in this season. One of my favorite things that I get to do as a pastor is to encourage people. I love to encourage people. I love to speak life into people. I'm a coach by nature, so I got my coach hat on today, so just get ready. I'm a little excited about the message. I love to speak to people's potential. I love to help people see maybe the way that God sees them, because I think oftentimes people have no idea what they could do if they would trust in the Lord. It's such an honor. But another thing that I get to do that I love is to show up in the middle of people's pain. It's to show up when people are hurting. It's to show up when somebody has a need, when someone loses a loved one. I love it. But what's really painful, if I could be honest with you, is showing up to a home or showing up to a hospital or whatever the case may be and me being the only person there. It stinks. It's an honor, but it hurts me as a pastor because this person doesn't have anybody to lean on. There's no one to bring them a meal. There's no one to pray. And I'm just like, this hurts. But in the same breath, I show up often to hospitals and into people's house, and there's 15 people that are there. And I'm like the 20th person that found out 3 days later, and I'm offended. But it wasn't intentional. It's just their life group beat me to the punch. They don't even need me. Y'all need me to pray? No, we done prayed. Y'all need some food? No, we got meal train set up. No. It is a beautiful picture of the body of Christ. And I don't know if you know this, but we all need that kind of community. We all need life-giving relationships. And personally, if I could be honest with you today, in the lowest places of my life, in the places of hurt and loss and pain and in agony and regret, all of those feelings and those emotions, I'm going to be calling a real friend. I don't know about you, but I'm not calling a fake friend when I'm in need. Anybody else? I need someone who's going to show up. I need someone who can help me when I'm down, someone who can pick me up to my feet. In a moment of need, you don't go to rentafriend.com. In a moment of need, you cannot microwave a real friend. In a moment of pain, in desperation, you don't Uber a real friend. You can't DoorDash a real friend to come to your rescue. ChatGTP could do a lot of things, but it won't be your friend. It will help you pass a few tests, but that's a different story. When I was in the most pain in my life was when I was in college. I was a young adult. And I learned really quickly the people I was partying with, the people I was drinking with, the people I was doing drugs with, the people I was just kicking it with, those weren't people to build my life with because they're not showing up when I'm in need. As a pastor, I don't want to see you face a trial in 2024 or ever in your life and then realize that you don't have Jesus-loving real friends around you. But here's the thing, there's good news. If you prioritize forging godly relationships and forging friendships, you will not be alone in the valley. Can I have an amen? There will be someone with you. And I've learned this, fun fact, I love to do leather work. I've got a little leather shop, been doing it for a long time, but I've recently taken up a new hobby. And I've got a little knife forge. Anybody ever watched Forged in Fire? You know how you watch stuff and you're like, I could do that, and you really can't. So I've been trying to figure out how to forge and make knives and do all this stuff. And it's interesting because when you're working with metal and when you're heating metal up and when you're trying to shape it and sharpen it and change the form into something else, it takes the proper tools. It takes a lot of intentionality. It takes heat. It takes pressure. It takes time. And I love what Proverbs 27, verse 17 says, as you've probably heard this, iron sharpens what? Iron. We sharpen each other. One man sharpens another. We all need this in our life. And I'm pleading with you today that you would prioritize godly relationships. And here's the truth. You may have a lot of friends. That's awesome. But if in your relationships, in your friendships, if there are no sparks that are flying, those are dull relationships. If you're not sharpening each other, if you're not challenging each other and pushing each other towards Christ, those are what I would just call casual community. Would you write this down? We all need real community. There's a reason I said real and not just we all need community. That sounds cute, right? We need real community because we need someone who's going to be authentic. Someone who's going to be pure and supernatural. We were created for community. I don't know about you, but I can tell you for me, I need faith-filled friends in my life. I need friends in my life that when I'm down, they can pick me up. I need some people that when I'm a little discouraged and I don't feel like getting up on a Sunday and preaching, they can light a fire under me. I need faith-filled friends, and you do too, because many friendships that we have had. I've had many friendships like this that are surface level. Anybody ever had a surface level friendship or relationship? That's what we call superficial. It's fake. It's kind of plastic. And last week I told you that Jesus is the real vine. And he says that if you remain in me, if you abide in me, you will bear fruit, much fruit. If you remain, if you stay, if you linger, if you loiter. But it's interesting, if you're connected to only superficial relationships, you will only have superficial results. I love what Hebrews 10 says in verse 24 and 25. Let us hold unswervingly. Everybody say unswervingly. That's a fun word. All right, that's fun. Unswervingly. To the hope that we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Let us not neglect meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another. This is so good. And especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Anybody looked around in the world and say, the world's a little crazy? Would y'all agree? I say the end's probably drawing near. Maybe. I don't know exactly when. Probably close. I would say it's a great time to be in biblical community. Have some people to lean on. Listen, I want this church in 2024 to hold unswervingly to the things of God. Not casually. Not check the box on Sunday, but unswervingly, meaning staying on the path, not to the left and not to the right. I'm not losing sight. This is what that verse is. It's a cry that we would not lose sight of the gospel, that we would not lose sight of meeting together. Y'all look around. Y'all look so good. Most of y'all look so good this morning. Encouraging each other, keeping our eyes fixed on eternity. I love this next verse, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 8, it says, because we loved you so much. Tell your neighbor, say, I love you so much. Tell the other neighbor you don't know. This is going to be weird to say, I love you so much. You don't know yet, but we love each other. Some of y'all just sparked a date on Sunday. Chill out, all right? It says, but because we loved you so much, we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but share our lives as well. We can't miss, we have to see this today. If we are going to ace two things as a church, this is my prayer, that we share the gospel and we share our lives with each other. Share the gospel and share our lives with each other, because when we open up the word of God and we open up our homes and we let other people in, did you know that all of heaven opens up and God will show up every time? Where two or three are gathered in his name, he is with us. And out of all the places God could show up, he's here. He's in your home. He's at the coffee shop as you sip your little latte. This is our prayer, that we wouldn't just share the gospel, but we would share our lives as well. This is important. Here in a second, at the end of this message, we won't close in worship like normal. We'll all stand and eventually go out to the foyer and the lobby. And we will see people out there that are smiling and they're trying to tell you why you should sign up for their group. And hopefully you sign up for a group. I do want you to know, there is a side door right here. It's an exit. If you don't want to talk to people today, and you're like, Seth, I don't care what you share on stage, I ain't getting in a group, that's your door, all right? No one will judge you. No one will even think twice. You just hit that door as soon as we dismiss, and we've got a group of people that'll be waiting out there to greet you, all right? I'm kidding, but that would be so funny. You'd be like, you know, you're not supposed to be here. It's like, get inside. You better sign up for a group. We're going to go out into the lobby, and there's going to be groups, all types of groups. And I want to tell you, there's four different ways that you can see the groups today. There's a QR code that will be on the screens. There's QR codes that will be on the tables for specific groups. If you want to see all the groups, you can scan it. You can see all that we have to offer this semester. We will be launching new groups throughout the semester as people are trained and equipped and ready to lead. Also, you can download the Church Center app. That'll help you do all things with our church. You can text FAY FAY to 88,000. It'll kick you a link back, and you can see everything coming up with the church. You can sign up for a group. Or my favorite, everybody look at me. You can go talk to a human being. You can do it. You can talk to a person. They'll be out there ready. Okay? If you're with me, say I'm with you. All right. There's all types of groups. If you don't know where to go, go right to the middle. You can go to the hot chocolate table. They'll connect you. We've got Connect class coming up starting next Sunday and then the following Sunday, the 28th of January and then February 4th. If you want to learn more about the church, is this a cult? Why do they do this? Why do they do that? We would love to answer all your questions. And we would love to introduce you to our staff, my family, all of the things New Life Church, tell you our story. There will be childcare available. It'll follow immediately after the second service on those two Sundays. You can sign up for that. We got men's groups. We got a men's retreat coming up that's going to be incredible. And I hope that you sign up for that. We have Re-Engage, which is a marriage ministry. We are completely maxed out and full this semester. There's 29 couples that are going through Re-Engage. Y'all, that's amazing, that are prioritizing their marriage. That kicks off this Sunday in a little bit. We've got women's groups and men's groups and prayer groups and Bible studies. I sound like an auctioneer. Outdoors groups. We got mom's groups. If you like crafts, we got a group for you. Financial Peace University. Y'all have always heard it. Mo money, mo problems. No money, no problems, all right? If you need to get your finances in order, we want to invest in you as a church. If you complete financial peace, we will pay for it as a church. If you don't complete it, that's up to you. Recreational groups, support groups, book studies, foster care groups. We've got sermon review groups. We've got youth and students and college and young adults and young couples and young families and co-ed and empty nesters and all kinds of serve opportunities, which we'll talk about in the weeks to come. This is what I want you to hear. Everybody has a next step. You just have to take the step. Our vision as a church and our heart is that you and your friends and your family would become fully devoted followers of Jesus. And this is what we know is true. Matthew 28, you've probably heard this before. It says, therefore, go. Everybody say, go. Say it with some urgency. Say, go.
Go.
Thank you. And make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And it says, surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. I want you to hear this loud and clear this morning. Our goal as a church is not hands raised on a Sunday. It's not converts. It's not churchgoers. Our goal as a church is not Sunday attendance. And it's not to make Christians. It's to make disciples. It is to create an environment where people can grow in their walk with God. Because ultimately, nothing else really matters. We have to get this. Our charge is to go and make disciples, fully devoted followers of Jesus. Someone who follows the ways of Jesus. A guy I love to read, he says to be with Jesus, to be like Jesus, and to do as he did. Disciples, would you write this down? Disciples are forged in biblical community. Disciples are forged in biblical community. Y'all listen, please hear me. Jesus never intended for his message and his love and his truth and his teachings and the gospel to be contained inside the four walls of a church building on a Sunday. We say it all the time as a church. We, Monday through Saturday, do the work of God, and we all gather on Sunday and we throw a party for Jesus. We celebrate all he's doing. My prayer is that every time we gather on Sunday, hear me, that we would have something to celebrate. Because you're meeting with people. You're sharing the gospel with people. You're sharing your life with people. You're sharing some coffee with people. You're sharing some food with people. This is our prayer. Why is this so important? And why is Seth so excited today? Well, one, I love the word of God, okay? Two, we just got done with a liquid fast. And three, I drank way too much caffeine this morning. But the real reason I'm so passionate about this, and please don't miss this. So many people surrender their life to Jesus and become a Christian, and they never follow him from that day forward. This was not a one-stop shop. Jesus says, follow me. Walk in my ways. You have to know this. Only 11% of people in the world would consider themselves a Christ follower. That's a rough statistic. That's not a lot of people. 11%. Well, why is this such a big deal? Because there's so many people that need the hope of Christ. Listen, 11%, as a Christ follower, if that does not put chills on your spine and keep you up at night, I don't know what will. If you were to line up people, I want to paint a picture for you, heel to toe, from right outside of our building all the way to Branson. Anybody trying to go to Branson? You know, Branson Landing. Heel to toe, straight line, front of our building, all the way to Branson, you would have approximately 300,000 people. Now, if you were to line up heel to toe, all of the people in the world who do not know Jesus yet, that line would stretch from Fayetteville, the front of this building, all the way to San Francisco, all the way across the Pacific Ocean, all the way to Hong Kong, all the way to London, across the Pacific Ocean again, and it would make its way all the way back to Fayetteville, Arkansas. Not just one time, not just five times, not just 10 or 20 or 30, but 32 times around the world, people heel to toe, front to back, that have no clue who Jesus is, have no purpose for their life. 32 long lines of people not connected to biblical community, a local church. 32 long lines of people who have no hope for their eternity. 32 long lines of people that God has called us as followers of Jesus to cut into those lines and to rescue people from the dominion of darkness, to reach in and pull people out and say, no, God knows your name. God knows your story. You have a purpose for your life. That's what we're called to do. Well, Seth, why are you so passionate? Because I am tired of seeing people casually going about their faith. Let's have some urgency. Can somebody say amen? 32 long lines of people, and our vision in our heart is that as a church, that we would cut into that line as much as humanly possible. That we would share the gospel, that we would share our lives. Last year alone, at all 18 locations of NLC across the state of Arkansas, we saw thousands of people saved. We saw 1,250 people get water baptized, thousands of people joining groups, thousands of people finding their identity in Christ. Listen, my life was radically changed at New Life Church. I was telling a young man earlier, I got tricked into coming to church my first time. I was in Conway, I was playing baseball at a school, and I got tricked into going to the college ministry. I showed up to get one of these watches I saw a guy wearing in macroeconomics in college, and he said, just come and get one tonight. I literally showed up just to get one of those little cheesy watches. This is like one that you get out of like the claw machine. And I walk in, and I was about to turn around and walk out after I got the watch, and this little cute girl, she's like, you should stay and sit with me. I was like, awesome, I'll stay. And so I stay. I get radically saved. God called me to ministry. I tell y'all all the time, I thought I was gonna coach baseball, and I thought I was gonna teach PE and lunch. That was it. That was my plan, and God had different plans. And I have dedicated and devoted my life to breaking into that line of people who have no purpose, who have no calling, and to say, no, God wants a relationship with you. And that's what I'm doing this morning. I'm pleading with you this morning, church. That not only do we receive this message, but that we would bring this message of hope to other people. I learned how to be a follower of Jesus here. I learned how to be a father. I learned how to be a husband. I learned how to read the word. I learned how to pray. I learned that my heavenly father is not like my earthly father. I was forgiven. I learned how to forgive. I learned how to develop real relationships. And hear me, please hear me. The best seasons of my life have always been when I am surrounded by other Christians, surrounded by other followers of Jesus. Kendra and I have a life group personally, and we don't do life group just because we're pastors. We do it because we are followers of Jesus. And we love to carry each other's burdens and pray for each other and share the truth. And as I prayed for this message today, I gotta be honest, some of y'all are wondering, what is that behind you? I'm about to show you. I prayed that this wouldn't just be a cute life group launch and we check the box and, oh, community, join a group. No. I pray that this would be seared in your memory for the rest of eternity, okay? The reality is this, and I'm not trying to condemn anybody, but my prayer is that the Holy Spirit would convict people and move them to action today. And this is my prayer. I'm going to give you and identify three different groups of people that are in the church at any given moment. And the reason I say there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus is because I have been every one of these groups of people that I'm about to tell you about. The first one is, and what you need to know is this is a pool of water. Kiddie pools are really hard to find in the winter, just fun fact. And I think the water has gotten cold, so this is cold plunge 2.0. This is a pool of water, it's normal water, but what this pool represents today is every good thing that God has to offer you and your family this year for the rest of your life. This pool represents God's word, God's love, God's grace, God's forgiveness, biblical community, joining together and worshiping on a Sunday. This pool, it encompasses all of that. This is all that God has to offer for you. The first group of people that are represented on any given Sunday in a church is what I would call a bystander. And this is what a bystander does. They just kind of hang out and look at everybody else in the pool. We'll go to church on a Sunday. We'll check the box. We'll play church. We'll smile for people. How's things going? Things are going so good. No, they ain't. A bystander, well, they look like they're having fun in the pool. And this is what a bystander does. They will occasionally cheer. Good job. Good job living for God. Awesome. Y'all keep doing that. A bystander judges people that worship a little different than them. A bystander looks at people raising their hands and like, there's no way that's authentic. A bystander is just standing by and watching all the good things that God is doing. And the reality is they don't get into the pool because that means they would have to leave some of their old life behind. And if I could just challenge you a little bit, yeah, I'm gonna take my shoes off. The next one's a dipper. A dipper. I don't want you to be a dipper. Tell your neighbor, say, don't be a dipper. Don't be a bystander, but don't be a dipper. This is what a dipper does. With the socks. I don't want to fully commit because that means I'd have to leave all of my old life behind. I'll kind of go, okay. Start the year in church. But it's baseball season. I'm not going to get in there. I'm not fully getting in there. Okay, but it's summertime. We need to get right. We got vacation. We're not really going to plug back into the fall. We'll be in the fall. The fall's coming. Football season. Can we pray for the Razorbacks right now? God, please bless the Razorbacks. Hallelujah. Jesus, show up in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't be a dipper. Really, this is what a dipper does. I've been this person. You need to know this, that this pool, everything that God has to offer you, it is warm in the cold seasons and it's cold in the warm seasons. It's everything you ever needed. He exceedingly and abundantly more than you could ask, think of, or imagine. That's what the word says. God has everything good. Every perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of heavenly lights. Get in the pool. But when you get in the pool, don't be a dipper. This is what a dipper does. I hear this over and over. It's someone who won't commit. Someone who's not going to be devoted, someone who is riding the fence. The Bible says they're neither hot nor cold. It's a dipper. I don't want to fully commit. It's a person who just kind of get the toes in and out for a little bit. Life gets bumpy. Life gets busy. The pastor sings too many songs in his sermon. Listen, from the great theologian NSYNC, if you know the words, sing it with me. Baby, I can't take no more. It ain't no lie. I just want to see you out that door. Baby, bye, bye, bye. I'm not saying that to you if you don't like me. I mean, partially true, okay? Like, if you don't like to have a good time at church and smile, you're going to hate this church. If you don't like people, you won't like this church. Don't be a dipper. God wants you to be a fully devoted follower of Him. Commit to the things of God and dive in, which brings me to my next point. Dive. This is a diver. Or a dunker, however you want to put it. Is Seth going to dive into this pool? I prayed about it. I'm not sure yet, all right? We'll just see where the spirit leads. I'm going to get in the pool. You're right. I'm going to do it. Yes, sir. Thank you. We may need a new microphone. Sorry about that. Wow, there's a lot more water than I thought in here. Yeah, some of you right now, you're saying, Seth, well, you look really, really dumb. I know, I'm aware of that. But you know what looks more dumb is you trying to do life alone. You trying to live life all by yourself, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, and live a life that God has never called you to live. Can we be a church that dives in, that sees a need and meets a need, that is devoted to the things of God? I don't know about y'all, but I want to dive in. If the pool was bigger, I would have went head first, but I don't want to break my neck. What does it look like to be a diver? This is a disciple. This is someone who's committed. This is someone who is not blown around by the winds of life, but they're planted in the house of God. And what does the word say? That you will bear fruit if you stay connected, if you stay rooted, if you stay planted, if you abide in Jesus. And hear me, if you get in a life group and you don't like it, just find one that you do like. Don't give up on church because it didn't meet all of your standards. Don't give up on community because it didn't check all the boxes. Be devoted. I double dog middle school, triple double dog dare you to dive into community this year. Don't repeat the same thing as last year and expect a different result. Dive in. Start serving. Start reading the Word of God. Start worshiping on your way to work. Start praying for your coworkers. Watch what God will do. You need to know this, that church is not a box that we check. Church, we are the church. We take God everywhere that we go. He lives inside of you as a Christ follower. Well, why am I so passionate about this? Because there's 32 long lines of people that wrap around the globe that desperately need the hope of Jesus, and we are deliverers of that message. I pray that you would never forget this silly illustration. And I pray that you would get community, that you would have rooted deep biblical community this year. Church and life groups is not something that you just attend. It is something that you are. You take it everywhere you go. And what's beautiful, hashtag soggy pants. When you are in the pool, here's the beautiful thing. Everywhere you go, people know you've been in a pool. When you're committed to the house of God and the Word of God, it's interesting because there's like a trail of God's faithfulness everywhere that you go. People bump into you in the grocery store and be like, that guy's different. That girl's different. Sorry about that. That girl's different. Why? Because you've been in the pool. Get in the pool, please. I'm begging you. I don't care if I'll look stupid every Sunday if it means one person gets out of that line and they say yes to God and yes to community and yes to loving Jesus and yes to purpose and yes to identity in Him. I could care less what people think, and maybe you should do the same. This is my prayer, is that we would be like the guys in Acts chapter 4. When people saw them, they said, those are average, ordinary men. But we can tell that they've been with Jesus. The early church in Acts chapter 2, 3,000 people get added to the number. People start getting baptized. People start giving their lives to Jesus, and the number grows drastically. I want to read this passage to you. It is beautiful, and this is what God wants to do right here. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and prayer. This is a group. All the believers who were together, they had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had any. And every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. Would you stand to your feet across the room? They broke bread in their homes. Anybody thankful for breaking bread in homes? Come on, somebody. I'm ready for lunch. And they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. Here's the beautiful part. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. How does the church grow smaller and bigger and deeper and wider? You have a church gathering like this, and you have biblical community week in and week out.